Let's pray together. God, thank you for giving us just enough of yourself to secure our lives for now, and for all time and into eternity. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, whom we confess together this morning as the Son of God, in whose name we pray. Amen. I have many favorite moments in the movie Forrest Gump. Probably too many to choose. One of the big ones is the scene where Jenny, as an adult, returns to her childhood home and starts just pounding it with rocks. And then Forrest makes the comment, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. It's just this poignant moment. But probably my all-time favorite is when Lieutenant Dan asks Forrest, "Have you found Jesus yet, Gump?" And Forrest Gump responds, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, sir." So have you found Jesus? Seriously, have you found Jesus? Where are you this morning, like right now, on your walk with God? Because for all the things we worry about, and all the things we think about, what matters most is being shaped in the image and likeness of Christ. And like most things, devoting an hour a week, it's just not enough. You know, coming to church once a week, a couple times a month, it's just not enough. Have you found Jesus? Are you even looking? I had a friend years ago who came to me struggling with his relationship with God. And after a long conversation of us both kind of talking to each other about where we were, our faith, our doubts, our worries in life, I confronted him gently, as only a friend can do. And I said to him that if he spent as much time seeking God as he did watching TV, then maybe he'd be in a little bit better place. You know, and I wouldn't say that to just anyone. I wouldn't say that to a stranger. You know, someone comes in and says, "Well, I'm having trouble finding God." "Well, it's your fault." You know, not the best, most pastoral approach. But there is a time to talk to each other and really think through. I mean, I know it's not a good place, you know, church, you're not supposed to talk about politics. And I've been told that a lot, but, you know, politics are on a lot of people's minds these days. A lot of the time, everywhere you turn, you're confronted by it. You know, you see it all the time. If we spend as much time digging deep into our relationship with God as we did worrying about politics, we might be in a little bit better place, even just personally and with our relationships with each other. You know, so something to think about. The Gospel of Mark landed in our laps as a gift from God. And I think it's in order to help us understand life during our continuing life of searching for Jesus. Mark teaches us how to follow Jesus even when we don't understand, even when we're worried, even when things are not going the way that we think they should. Returning to Mark 1 to revisit why all of this started in the first place. Who is this Jesus that we're supposed to meet in Mark? What are his priorities? And what's most important? Because most of the time, as we're sort of going through life, even just getting into our day-to-day routines, that comes up a lot. What's most important to me? What's most important to my family? What's most important to the people that I love? And I think Mark helps us with those kinds of questions. So, picking up where we left off at the beginning of worship, from Mark 1:20, straight into 1:21, they went to Capernaum. "And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not like the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? If you come to destroy us, I know who you are, the Holy One of God, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once, his fame spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her immediately. He came and took her by the hand, lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them that evening. At sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up, he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone's searching for you. He answered, let's go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that's what I came to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. So when they find him, who do they find? What do they find? Why do they keep following? So there's two big questions in the Gospel of Mark. And I think we have two big questions when we come to Jesus. Who is this Jesus we find in Mark? And what is most important to Jesus in Mark? I want to oversimplify the Gospel of Mark, but I think there is a time and a place, especially now that we've actually read the whole Gospel of Mark, to go back to the beginning and simplify this a little bit. Because Mark can get confusing. Mark at times is amazing. And at times Mark leaves too much of the weight of walking with Jesus on us. So in an attempt to go back to the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark and say, okay, who is Jesus and what's most important? Here's a little simplified version. Who is Jesus? He's a bringer of good news. He invades Satan's territory. He destroys the things around them that are evil, the things that are tempting. He's a healer. And Jesus is ultimately a Savior that takes us from the temporary into the eternal. You ever need any one of these four things? You ever need all four of them on the same day? This is the Jesus that we meet in the Gospel of Mark, but this is the Jesus that we need today, maybe more than ever. There are plenty of times as we walk through this life where we need good news. Because there's a lot of bad news. You're not going to have to probably go very far this afternoon once church is over before you start hearing some bad news. Now, I don't know, you may even hear some bad news while you're here. But Jesus is a bringer of good news. You need good news? Do you ever need Jesus to come in to these times that we live in over and over again and take anything that's evil, much less anything that's tempting, and just destroy it, take it away. You ever face temptation? Did you face temptation yesterday? You faced it yet this morning? Does it feel like you're about to face it again? This is what Jesus does. Jesus is a healer. You ever need healing from anything? Physical stuff, spiritual stuff, things you worry about? This is who Jesus is, and it's what Jesus does. And ultimately, Jesus is a Savior that takes us from everything temporary and ushers us into the eternal. That's who Jesus is. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, all the way through the story. Which brings us to the second question, what is most important to Jesus in Mark? And once you get to that question of what is most important to Jesus in Mark, I'm pretty sure that that should be a template for what is most important to us as the people of God, carrying this stuff out day to day. So that's who is Jesus. Now, what's most important to Jesus in Mark? People who are sick, people who seek, people who are still able to learn, people who are willing to follow. For us as the people of God, there are going to be plenty of days where as we are trying to figure out what is most important, where my guess is that if we gathered 10 people in a room and said what is most important, the answers would be all over the place. And it's not necessarily that those things are bad. If things are important to you, they're important to you for a reason. But what is most important to Jesus, especially in all this time that we've spent in the Gospel of Mark, that helps us understand and answer the question, not just as, well, here's what the Gospel of Mark teaches, but who we are as the people of God. Are we still seeking God? Have you found Jesus? Again, I understand that this is kind of an oversimplified reading of the first chapter of Mark, but after spending an entire season in the Gospel of Mark, a little bit of oversimplification isn't going to hurt us. You see, when we meet Jesus in Mark 1, Jesus challenges the norms of his day, not just around Galilee, but the entire world, and that hasn't changed. When Jesus comes and challenges the norms of his day, Jesus is still doing that today. So, have you found Jesus? In the novel, The Stand, there's a character named Nick. He's talking to a wise woman who's kind of the sage of the book. She's kind of the one with all the answers, the one who sort of knows everything. And she says something about God, at which point Nick tells her that he doesn't believe in God. She smiles, and with calm confidence, as only a calm, wise old teacher would do, she says something back to him to the effect of, "Oh, bless you, Nick, but that don't matter for now, because God believes in you." You ever struggle to understand? You ever struggle to believe? Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for him in your daily life? This is a long process of a life of following Jesus. And here's the immediate good news, and it's really good news. And this is the story of Mark. Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in us as the body of Christ, and Jesus believes in you. And that is very good news. Amen.